The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
X-Pac, 1, 2, 3, 60. X-Pac, 1, 2, 3, 60.
A new day is dawning for DX.
And now, your host, Sean X-Pac Wolfman.
Well, welcome to X-Pac, 1, 2, 3, 60, everyone. All right. Jeez, back to, ended up trying to call it normal, but back to feeling good this week. Hey, first, like, I just, like, right off the bat, for everyone that sat through the show last week, I just want to thank and apologize to everyone at the same time. And not just everyone, you know, out there watching and listening, but also like high spots, you know, and you know, they bust their ass and went through a lot to put on a hell of a show for everyone at WrestleMania weekend. Yeah, there was a couple glitches or whatever, but like I'm just bringing my negativity last week to the show and like venting about little issues I had was bullshit. Like I didn't need to be doing that, and like I came in here last week. I shouldn't even have come in. Like I was like legit last Monday. Like I felt like I was gonna die.
You were really sick.
No, yeah. Like beyond sick. Yeah. I was fucked. And you know, like I had to stay an extra day in New York, just in my hotel without leaving my room, just so I could get on a plane to come back here. But I just felt like if I came in last week, I don't know, it was stupid. It was stupid. Like I could risk getting people sick. And it was just, you know, I thought maybe, okay, I could come in here and once we do the show and get flowing, you know, and I start talking about what a great weekend it was and what a great week WrestleMania week was for me, like it would get me out of the funk, but no way. No way. It was awful. And like it continued just, you know, even after the show with my girlfriend, like if she's telling me I need to go see my therapist, then it's like, holy shit, you know?
It's okay. True love right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So to the guys that I had the six man with, those guys, you know, they're not at the same level of experience as I am, you know? And they went out there and they did the best they could. And things didn't go how I wanted them to. You know, yes, there were some issues, but there's issues with like all kinds of matches I've been in, like on a much bigger scale than that. And I don't know, I was just last week, I was in a real shitty headspace. And I want to thank those guys for being in the match with me, all three of them. And my partners. And I want to apologize for bringing negativity to that, you know, to just inserting it into something that was such a great, you know, a great fun. It was a fun occasion. Mm-hmm. It was great, and it was an honor to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and so what? They played the wrong X-Pac song. Okay, I'll get over it. Jesus Christ, sometimes me. You know, so I just want to get that out of the way. And those guys, they did a good job. Yeah, it didn't go exactly how I wanted it to. So, you know, poor me.
The response
was, it's not all about me. Jesus Christ.
There was plenty of positive responses to the episode last week as well. That people were very interested to hear just where you were at that moment. Okay. Where your headspace was.
That's fine, but I got, and I appreciate that, but when I have people on Twitter, and okay, you can go, oh, it's just Twitter. No, but it's Twitter, and not everyone on Twitter is an asshole. You know, going, man, it was really hard to sit through the show last week because of just the negativity, and I get it. Mm. And I was like, almost like, I wish you wouldn't have. Like, that's one, like, the biggest show of the year I could do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, after WrestleMania, well, you know.
And usually does pretty good numbers for us.
Yeah, and there I am, you know, shitting all over every goddamn thing. Because it was great. It was a, you know, anyways.
It was a hell of a weekend for wrestling.
Yeah.
And
I can, and I'm just going to go find out all the negative shit.
Well, I wanted to ask, now that the weekend is over, did you have a chance to actually watch some of the stuff that you had missed?
Yeah, I did. I watched. I already told you that earlier, Mark. Mark, you're funny.
I'm setting up. I'm going to set it up to knock it out.
Yeah, no. There was a lot. Okay, so when you're part of a show, like a show like that, it's really hard to watch the rest of the show. You know? So I missed, you know, and it caught me off guard, the whole, like, you know, Universal title change at the top of the show. I think it caught more than just me off guard. So, yeah, but I was happy. You know, I want to congratulate everyone that deserves congratulations, like Kofi, all those guys. I never got a chance to like, sincerely congratulate them because I wasn't able to really get a good look at at the matches. Mm-hmm. You know, and wow. You know, Kofi and Daniel Bryan, like, for that, doesn't matter for when the match went on. Boy, the heat, the you know, you could just feel it. You know, watching it, you could feel it.
Mm-hmm. I've heard you say before that when it comes to outdoor arenas, the noise just sort of goes straight
a
up
lot of times, yeah.
And doesn't get trapped. But for that, you heard every single person.
And listen to the crowd. Go back and watch the match and listen to the crowd and listen to, okay, in between stuff where normally, even in a great match, when there isn't that much, you know, emotional equity in the match, emotional investment from everyone, like, you know, you're going to have dips in the crowd reaction. Nothing. The crowd was just livid. They were just, you know, at a fever pitch the whole time, you know, and that's what you want out there. That's what, like, you know, you don't let the crowd die. The noise, you always got to keep it going, and that was a perfect example, especially that late at night.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd had already seen so much,
and there's still so much left to see after that, right. Even more so. Like, they accentuated almost each hour with just a one of the major championships, but even then, none of the matches in between felt like a break or you know, everything went at a very strong consistency.
So, yeah, like, not going into a WrestleMania review here on the show, but I just wanted to, like, just say all, you know, congratulations to everyone, like, you know, Becky, everyone, Seth, well, actually, all the ladies, you know, in that main event, and who am I missing?
Ryder and Hawkins won.
Yes, all those
Tony
guys.
Nese won.
Yeah.
So.
Usos.
Wow, the Usos. Oh, wow. Yeah, those guys. They're just on fire. So. Okay, let's keep the show moving.
Into Help positive notes. Let's talk about some news. Do you want
to? Yeah. Well, you've seen the MVP TED Talk.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. MVP did I think it's called When Do I Stop Being a Criminal?
Mm-hmm.
TED Talk. Yeah. It's available on YouTube. Please go check it out. I think it's like 35, 40 minutes total.
Is it that long?
Yeah. But it was really interesting. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, see, I know his story, you know, very well. And I know the things that he's been through. And I know the things that he talked about in that. You know, I mean, we've had long conversations about those things. And I'm glad he got that out there. And it's something I care about, you know. It's as I'm not a felon. I'm not a convicted felon. I've been charged with felonies in the past, drug related. Thankfully, like that, anyways, not to get off on me because, but just saying, I can't even imagine, what it's like to have to, you get out and you're supposed to have paid your debt to society, but that's BS. Because as long as you're still paying, you haven't paid your debt. It's like they, and I got, I have a brother. Sorry, I don't want to go off into. Anyways.
It's your show. You can't.
Well, I know, but, sometimes, I forget that I'm talking to a lot of people here. And, I might spill, personal, shit on people that. I shouldn't be talking about. So
I gotta
pull it back in a little
convicted
bit.
Of a felony, but you've had issues in the past and you've definitely been in headlines.
Yeah.
Is that something that comes up for you where you feel like I paid my debt?
No, Jimbo. Yeah. Okay. So those things come up, right? Somebody might Google me and some of that shit might still pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Shit that I didn't even do. Right. Like
the meth. Yeah. That LAX. Whole thing.
Yeah. All of that. But I would never, ever, try to compare anything I've been through to what a convicted felon has to deal with when after they get out and have supposedly paid their debt to society. Mm-hmm. So please watch that. And and it's just and these issues may not affect you at all, but it's still there are, we care about these things.
The TED Talk platform is so unique. Everybody, it doesn't necessarily matter where the person comes from, but people go, oh, new TED Talk.
Yeah.
And so when it's such a compelling story as MVP's is, it's even greater that he was given that platform. Like Titus O'Neil had one a little while ago. That was great.
Exactly.
And
so we can have, not to interrupt, but we can have an... as a society, a conversation of, well, maybe there are some people that never deserve, even if they get out of prison, never deserve those rights back. And we can have that conversation, child molesters, things of that nature.
The worst of the worst.
Exactly. So, all right, enough of that, because I don't want to,
Let's stay positive here.
Yes.
But, the MVP does positive things.
The positivity is he's come so far to be able to tell his story and hopefully motivate people to not fall down the same paths as him, but give people a chance to open their mind and give someone a chance that might be a felon that you might have been standoffish before, but now you see, oh, they have paid their debt to society and they are moving forward and this is helping them move forward in their life.
But now let's see how many more obstacles we can put in their way.
Yeah.
How about we don't do that?
Actually? I believe it was just Florida that they gave felons the right to vote.
No, I don't want to get off.
Oh,
that.
I was just
because,
saying.
That's a whole other thing there where they're trying to, anyways.
Mm.
There's a lot to unpack there.
That's right. And this is a wrestling entertainment. Happy, happy show. So, all right.
Should we move to Booker and then?
Let's go happy with this. So Booker T in his Reality of Wrestling has made a great deal.
Yeah, Impact Wrestling announced this morning that they are going to be teaming with Booker T's Reality of Wrestling to do a show in Houston in July from the home of Reality of Wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
And it's sort of bare information, but it's going to be just a crossover of both schools of talent, and it's going to be great for all the students of Reality of Wrestling.
Yes. And is the Impact roster, do we know what that looks like right now?
They gave a list, you had it. There.
Okay. It's probably Brian Cage, The Rascals, The Lucha Brothers.
Johnny Impact, Brian Cage,
Taya,
Rob Van Dam. Yeah, they're saying Rob Van Dam.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, Kill Cross, Eddie Edwards, Moose.
Yeah, and they say that in the Knockouts as well. So it's a pretty big thing for a wrestling school to get tied to a national wrestling company. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this is just the beginning of more.
Interesting. It's interesting just because of the the current working relationship Booker still has with WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
It always seems like with reality wrestling for him, though, that it's the school comes first and the talent comes first, and as much experience as they could get is beneficial for all of wrestling.
Yeah. So, and also, the reason why I asked what the Impact roster looks like right now is because for a while there, I was having a little bit of a hard time distinguishing the Impact roster from the MLW roster. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Much easier to distinguish the two now, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that's a good thing.
Because I think, especially AEW and then ROH, and like it's become a bit of a buyer's market that everyone has kind of had to lock down who they have and don't have.
AEW?
AEW. Sorry, AEW. That, like,
I was gonna say.
That there are enough. There are enough.
AAW is throwing contracts. Guaranteed money off.
I don't know, man. I have a 5-year deal with them.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of AEW, they had two signings.
Yes.
They signed Darby Allin and they signed Seema from Dragon Gate to their exclusive contracts for them.
That's great.
Hopefully they'll be at StarCast. If not, they'll be at this fight show that they're promoting in July.
Fighter Fest. Which is a parody of Firefest. It's going to be a gaming tournament and wrestling show, which Kenny Omega did with Capcom last year. He brought some talent in, and it was the same sort of a thing, but it was a Capcom-inspired event.
Yeah, they were at the Daytona Beach Ocean Center.
Yes,
yeah.
They are back there.
They're going back for that same venue?
Oh, no, it's the same event, CEO.
Yeah, CEO, yeah. It's still CEO, but they're calling the wrestling portion of CEO Fighter Fest.
Okay. All right, well, that...
But it was...
Just seeing the logo, it's so ridiculous.
But they're making a huge push to... In jest about the Fire Fest because they're spelling Fighter FYT.
Yeah.
And then they're knocking up the logo, but it's going to be the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and then Pac and the Lucha Bros. Lucha Bros. Yeah. And then Cody versus.
I don't know if it's versus because isn't he still healing?
He might still be healing. He's on a poster next to another person. We
next
don't
to
know
Darby
if that's actually, yeah, that's we don't know if that's actually a versus.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. I mean, I imagine that I'll probably imagine I'll do better than last year's, and last year seemed to be
different. Seemed, it was different. A lot more people were there for the gaming tournament, but much like Xavier Woods, Kenny Omega has such a huge following when it comes to gaming, and he has gaming sponsors. So that world is getting closer and closer and closer to each other.
Is this festival, like, it's not just an AEW, right? It's the CEO game thingy. Any chance that Xavier would be at that?
I think that there's always a possibility. When they did a stare down, or they did it was the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega versus the New Day in Street Fighter last year, and it was one of the most entertaining things ever.
I remember all that.
And now Up Down Down has an actual championship belt. So I think it would be interesting to introduce that there's always a chance they don't necessarily announce any time that they show up and see each other, but it's not like Xavier would show up on Being the Elite or anything like that.
And there's always the chance Xavier wants to do it and the WWE says no.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's both chances.
Last year the climate was a little different than it is now. Things have changed a tad.
Quite a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
Dark side of the ring?
I think we should.
Not to go back into the negative parts of pro wrestling, but there's this great series on Vice right now.
Mm-hmm.
They've done two episodes. The first one was Macho Man. The second one was
Brody.
Bruiser Brody.
And then tonight, if we're airing Wednesday, tonight will be the Montreal.
This week, sorry.
The Montreal Screwjob.
Yeah.
And I think it's, what, a six-part?
I think it's
eight-part.
I think it's an eight-part. Mula is one of the other ones. That are one of the other topics that are upcoming.
The most recent one was the Bruiser Brody one.
Yes.
What did you think?
I didn't really see any new information.
Mm.
So, like, that's all stuff I remember playing out, like, in real time.
Mm.
You know, I was just getting into wrestling. I was just starting the wrestling portion of my career. You know? Yeah. You know, like forever, no one will go to Puerto Rico, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Still a little infamous.
Yeah, and I don't buy Abdullah the Butcher. I'm not buying it. I wasn't at that meeting and all that crap. Like, yeah, no.
Even Tony calls him out on that. Yeah. he's lying about
that. Yeah. Own your shit.
I this series has been getting a lot of news, but I think equally A&E announced that they're going to be doing six new biographies on wrestlers. Similarly, they had an Andre the Giant and a Hulk Hogan one. They're both very well made. And I think it's really interesting now that we're in a time where wrestling biographies are becoming a thing again. WWE does great stuff for the network. Chronicle, 365, amazing stuff and amazing stories that sort of like blur the line of storyline and reality. But when it comes to this stuff, it's just more of that. Similarly to the TED Talk, it's just providing that platform for these stories to get out to people that don't necessarily have them.
Yeah.
Also, a documentary is a documentary not produced by the WWE and put in their I don't want to say formula, but put into their platform. If it's on Viceland, there are people who watch Viceland that don't watch wrestling, that it actually and will watch a documentary about Bruiser Brody, or like we'll just watch a documentary on Viceland because that's what you do on Viceland. That this tells a story to an audience that didn't hear the story.
It's not just like a Bruiser Brody would never even exist today, you know. It's just so. I just can't imagine it. Just
like nobody coming up like him.
Well, just you know the reputation he had, and like sometimes the difficulties, and you know, like just going in there, and you know, sometimes running through guys in the ring like that. Like you can't do that anymore. Like you can't. Like no one will want to work with you. You know,
it would be very interesting to see where he would have landed today. What his career would have been like by the time
he would have been the greatest wrestler in the world that couldn't get a goddamn booking, just to be honest.
Yeah, because his legacy is still seen in the current roster on across the world.
Yes,
it's remarkable.
Yeah, and it was just how he carried himself and handled his business and all of that, and it served him well. It just didn't serve a lot of other people well at times, you know, and that's what, and kind of like that's, for him to be that successful in the way, you know, like, I guess I understand that, you know, I understand that. It's just, I can also understand why other people wouldn't want to deal with it.
Mm. Is there anybody that you would want to get this Viceland platform to tell their story?
No, that's not like because and it was really good. It was really well done, and I didn't see the Macho Man and Elizabeth one yet, so I don't know. I saw that Lanny participated in it. I'm not sure what his opinion is on the finished product, because you know how Lanny's very sensitive and defensive when it comes to anything having to do with his brother, and I understand and I don't blame him. So, yeah. No, I guess what I was trying to say is I'm trying to be like the you know. Like I don't want to be the one that shines a light on the dark side thing, like in that way. Like I don't want to tell the dark stories anymore. I mean, maybe
that's a great mindset, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they happen.
People want to hear it, and I get it. The stories are out there. I get it. It's just it brings you to a dark place. You know, there's a lot of It's just like when, in regards to my autobiography, like, yeah, you try like having some of those, you know, like for me to write that and tell those stories, I got to go back and revisit all that shit. And that's a real fucked up place to go, you know? So, yeah. Like, try to be positive. I'm going to have to eventually do it, though, because people want, you know, and it's important to me that my story's told properly. So, all right. Where were we?
Well, speaking of positivity, the War Raiders from NXT got called up to Raw on Monday night.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They are going now by the Viking Experience.
Yes.
And Warbeard Hansen is now Ivar, and Ro is Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a bit of an uproar on social media, and a lot of people are still...
I get it. Okay? It's not ideal. However, it's not even close to... as bad a name as they could have given those guys. And number two is the creative process put behind their push is the most important thing, not what you call them. Mm-hmm. You know, giving them a good storyline, like, you know, following through on it. Just all these important things are so much more important than whether they're called, you know, Viking Experience or, you know, whatever, the War Raider, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
So, yes, I get it. It's not ideal, but let's. It's definitely not the hill I think people should be dying on.
No.
Okay.
Did you get a chance to work with them while you were down at the PC?
Interacted with those guys. Okay. And they know I'm fans of them, you know. I'm fans of all those guys.
Yeah.
You know. So let's. It's not the end of the world here, everyone. Okay, yeah.
Mick Foley tweeted something like, if social media would have been around back in my day, I'm sure people would have laughed at Mankind as well. And even the name Six and like Roadie becoming Road Dog and all these name changes. So
it's like what you make of it. It's what you make of it. Like, okay, if those guys go out there every week and they just crush it every time they're out there, and it doesn't, the Viking Experience is, and 2 months going to be the greatest name ever. It's like I'll go back to the Goldberg thing. When Goldberg was like, you know, he'd come up to Scott and I one time, and, you know, he's like, trying to think of a name. What about the Hybrid? I was thinking about calling myself the Hybrid. I'm like, eh. It's not like it sucks or anything, but, like, what's your real name? Well, Goldberg. It's not cool. It's cool if, like, you're cool and, like, you go out there and you kick ass and all of a sudden, like, you know, Goldberg is cool. And it was.
It's two syllables. Everyone can say it.
Chant it. Yeah. All sorts of stuff. It's there. People try to come up with names like that that work that well. And he got real lucky.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the Viking Experience, if people are if that's their thing that they choose to talk about.
I almost think we're talking too much about it.
I was just going to say that everything, if wrestling is that good, that's the thing that people tend to, if that's the thing that people are like latching onto. Everything's pretty damn good right now.
It's not like they called him the Viking Experience and then had him go out there and lose their debut.
Mm-hmm.
They won, right?
And it was a great match.
It was a nice match.
Yeah, it was an 8-man tag.
Yeah.
And it's not like they called up the Street Profits and made them the Viking Experience. Like, there are worse things. I do agree. There is a positive spin to this.
Montez would rock that, though.
They could have been... I don't know. Well, I was about ready to, like, say something really stupid. Going to call them the Street Vikings. No?
I would like that.
We have a new faction.
Oh, I love it.
Someone sent us the creator wrestler screenshot.
Another name change was Punishment Martinez is now Damian Priest.
Yeah. Damian Priest. Yeah,
it's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, there's going to be good things coming from Damian Priest.
Well, you experienced name changes throughout your career, and when you were 1-3 kid, after a while, you hated it, right?
I hated it from every second I was the 1-2-3 kid. I hated being called the 1-2-3 kid. Hated it.
Did you ever suggest any alternates?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Just the kid is what I wanted to be called. Mm-hmm. Like, it just wasn't happening. You know, and at some point you just have to go from I hate this to acceptance, and the quicker that happens, the better things will be. You know, so yeah. And Six, I was like, it's not the worst name ever, but it's like, whatever.
It became iconic.
And a lot of times, it is that it's not your idea that you know. That's kind of a sticking point in people's heads. Is it's not their idea, and it's, you know, I remember I really wanted to be just keep the Lightning Kid name because I thought I did such a great job of establishing that name, you know. So, and I did to a certain extent, about as good as you can, you know, with no huge platform. But so name changes and new names, and you know, people getting used to names. That's a thing, and it's, you know, it's like putting on a new pair of shoes for the first time.
Sometimes. And that's there's a lot of people that are watching Raw that may have never seen the War Raiders or them as War Machine, and this is their first thing, and they're like, that's real badass.
Yeah, Viking Experience.
Yeah, I'm about it. I know you said you didn't want this to become a result show for WrestleMania, but I just wanted to ask, was there anything else from the weekend that you want that you got to go back and rewatch?
I thought Hunter did a really I thought he did a hell of a job in there with Dave. Mm-hmm.
That was a fun match.
Yeah, and it was a really tough spot. And that's Paul, though. Like, man, he'll go in there, and he's not going to let, okay, put us in, like, this really tough spot. Like, it was.
They went on 13th.
Yeah.
13th of 16.
Yes. So he doesn't let that get to him. And he's, I don't think there's anyone as good as Paul. When it comes to taking somebody that's nervous as shit and even panicking out there in the middle of the ring, mm-hmm. And calming them down. And I know from experience, because I've been that nervous, blowing up a guy in the ring. Like, we had a match after he, after Paul turned on me at WrestleMania, and then we had a singles match and he beat me. And after that, they gave me this big push, right, with Kane and all that. But, you know, we had to establish Paul then. But, like, we had this singles match, and it was in Providence. I think it might have been some backlash, or I don't know what the fuck. But, you know, we took it for granted, and, like, we got plenty of stuff we could put together. We worked with each other a million times. And then, you know, next thing you know, we get to time of the match, and we really don't have much. And Paul had to go out there and, like, you know, call everything to me. And, like, you know, I got in panic mode at one point. And he talked me through it and calmed me down. And, yeah. So.
When did you get to that point for other people? Because
I was at that point then. It was okay. Just
on it was that, just that particular match?
On that particular match at that night. Yeah. I came in unprepared and, you know, yeah. You take things for granted. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like some people going up on stage for their Hall of Fame speech thinking they're going to crush it because they're really good on the mic and then getting up there and shit in the bed. You know what I mean? I'm not going to name names, but some people have done that.
Mm, you don't have to.
yeah. Not also, me. I'm not even talking about me because I didn't think I was going to go up there and crush it. Like, I'm not, you know.
You came in with purpose. You did what you needed to do. You had fun. Well, it was a good time.
A Hall of Fame speech isn't a promo either.
Right.
So for someone to walk in and think, oh, it's just a promo. It's like, no, it's it's a speech.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, okay. Wow. Those guys, I thought it was pretty good, man. They, you know, and Paul stayed the course. And, you know, it ended up, it took a little bit. It took a little build for that. And the people ended up starting to get with it, mm-hmm. actually. Because, like, you know, it was laid out in such a smart fashion. You know, all the little things they added in there, like the little pull the nose ring out with the plier, like little things like that, you know?
That was iconic. Like, not only for the entrance, but that's something that you could always remember from the match that you've probably never seen before.
Yeah. And that was, I think that was the very first time Paul had even been in the ring since... I mean, not even taking about Saudi Arabia since he tore his pec. So, like, yeah, I think he didn't even know. I'm pretty sure he didn't even know how it was gonna go out there.
And it worked out as well as it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Where else were we?
We're slated to just talk about anything from the WrestleMania weekend that stood out to you positively, either from the WrestleMania card. Did you the NXT TakeOver card, perhaps? If you've caught any of that.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I would have to go back and, I think, yeah.
Well, with the Superstar Shakeup, we got some more people officially on Raw. Lacey Evans is officially on Raw.
Oh, let's talk about Lacey Evans. Because, you know, the first time most of us got a chance to see her, I know she was in Mae Young class mm-hmm. and all that, but, like, really, like, was it that when the Rumble? Royal Rumble, right?
Yes. Yeah. She came out first at the Royal Rumble.
Yes, and that was just like that wasn't good to do that to her, and like you know there was a couple little bumbles in the you know like the opening spot they tried to do, and like mm-hmm. all eyes were on them, and it was just not a good situation for her, and I thought like she I thought they did a really good job with her. And you know, some people, like, it's funny because there's some people that's not a heel gimmick. Mm. You know what I mean? And a lot of people it is, but so like I just think that, like, okay, last night she did a good job. She showed, like, okay, they, to me, that like wipes away all the, you know, the ick feeling I had from seeing her, like, at Royal Rumble.
Well, and I also don't think it helped that you saw her come out number one at the Royal Rumble, and that was January.
Yeah.
She had been announced in December, in, like, the first week in December, and then they did the gimmick where she would just walk out and then walk back in, so you never actually saw her work other than that one time in the course of, like, 6 months.
And that's, yeah. And then, like, after that, you know, mm-hmm. they have her come out and keep doing that. But I get it. And now, like, after that match, I thought she... Good strong showing is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Good strong showing, Lacey Evans.
Good strong showing. She's going to be a wonderful opponent for Becky Lynch moving forward.
Yeah. So
I love that finisher.
That's all. That's all.
The women's right.
Is that what she calls it?
The straight punch is the women's right.
I just think she should stick with that mm-hmm. for the most part.
She had a grapple move, but listen, once she had that was it.
But she also
and
did
it's
the
fine
moonsault.
To do the moonsault did thing, the moonsault. But I wouldn't count on that all the time, especially, like, it takes one time for you to slip and you know, eat shit on that, and then you're back to thinking about things like falling on your butt in the opening spot at Royal Rumble.
Mm.
So, not that I think she shouldn't keep the moonsault thing, but, like, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Don't rely on that every match.
Right. Yeah.
That should be in
And
her
honestly,
arsenal.
Like, when she hit the punch, like, if she would have covered right then, 1, 2, 3, like, to Matt, that would have been a good finish, too, for me. Because that would have been faster, and it would have been, you know.
Also, it's a good finish because anyone can take it. It relies on your opponent to sell more than.
It's just you're gonna screw up. You're gonna screw up the women's right punch a lot less than you're gonna screw up jumping up to the.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, good for her though.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
for her.
I'm really excited for where she's going. Yeah. Did they make it clear of her challenging for just the Raw Women's Championship?
That's my guess because she said I'm on Raw and I want that Raw Women's title. Okay.
Did she say that specifically? Yeah. Part of me feels with the women's tag titles that they would want the women's tag titles on SmackDown and then just have Becky be one champ.
They'll probably also establish a number one contender tonight on SmackDown, and then for Money in the Bank, Becky will have to wrestle twice.
Mm. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I think I don't know.
I mean, Seth Rollins did it Night of Champions a couple years ago. So.
Yeah, she's the man. She could wrestle twice.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I just...
She'll probably enter herself in the Money in the Bank match and win that, too.
That's going to be a crazy pay-per-view.
I do like that. I just think while you have both belts on one person, you should at least explore the idea of just having one woman's champion travel both shows and then one women's tag champ travel both shows. Explore that idea. Maybe not do it.
Yeah. Who else joined Raw last
Cedric night? Alexander, but he didn't debut. They just showed a package for him. Mm-hmm. Eric Young didn't debut, but they showed a package for him, and now he's split from Sanity.
He showed up in a graphic of all of the people that were moved to Raw. He was just there on the end, and Killian Dane tweeted about how, you know, he'll miss Eric, and he'll miss Alexander Wolf, too. So it puts Sanity, or at least those three guys, in a weird position.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Miz came out in the opening segment.
Yeah.
Was there blood?
Yeah, he got busted open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Andrade.
I don't like to see, like, anyone getting hurt, but it was a nice visual.
Yeah. Andrade and Zelina Vega are now on Raw.
Andrade looked good and solid in his match out there.
Yeah. Then Aleister Black and Ricochet were confirmed for Raw.
Yeah.
The Viking Experience, as we talked about. Rey Mysterio, who was then interrupted by Lars Sullivan, who presumably is now set on mm-hmm. Raw. Yeah. Naomi tagged.
I could have done without that on Rey.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, it was just another beat. Like, I could have. I don't know.
And
I don't know.
Rey's always been so iconic as a SmackDown guy, too, that putting him on Raw isn't necessarily weird.
I would have liked to seen him fuck somebody up that was like a bigger person stature wise, maybe.
And then Lars comes. Maybe then Lars comes out.
No, I'm talking about okay. Lars
beating up someone Lars. Else big.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Him not, coming up, doing like a showdown with
obviously not Braun. But like or a showdown with Braun. Yeah, he's a stare down.
He's a big boy. The Usos, Naomi tagged with Bayley to take on the Iconics. Yep.
And so they're just kind of moving forward with Bayley. They're just going to go, okay.
There was a backstage segment earlier in the before the show where Bayley was trying to get a hold of Sasha. The Iconics made fun of her, and then that led to this.
And I thought they covered it nicely on commentary, you know, not just forgetting about Sasha, but, you know, mentioning her. And
still
even,
a part of the
even
story.
Even acknowledging the, you know, she might be going through some things.
Mm-hmm. And
also, hey, let's talk about Sami Zayn's.
Oh, amazing promos.
Yeah.
Back-to-back weeks. Amazing promos.
Did anyone not see that coming?
That Montreal would... No, that Montreal just, would take to him, or just that
no,
he...
No, just that he would do the, you know, get the people going and then shit on him?
Of course. If this was his first promo back, no. But since that's the person that he presented himself as, oh, sure. Well, I mean, what's better than poo-pooing all over your hometown, really?
Yeah.
It reminded me of Edge. Edge had done that in Canada once, mm-hmm. where everyone loved him and then instantly just turned it all back on, like, yeah, I'm supposed to be the bad guy here.
Brian Pillman did that at ECW Arena, too, that he turned up and everyone loved him, and then he went out of his way to cut a promo in the entire arena.
I loved Sami Zayn doing the Olay chants, though. Yeah. That was fantastic for me. It took me back to El Generico days.
Why would it do that?
I don't know.
That's weird. Right, well, the only other thing was AJ Styles was the big... announcement moving from Raw to, or from SmackDown to Raw.
Okay. Yeah. And I that's a good get for those guys. Right?
Yeah, it's huge. The guy who carried SmackDown, carried the WWE Championship over SmackDown for it's one of its longest modern reigns. Like you associate. Like I don't know if I think AJ is only like worn red at WrestleMania once, and it was only like an accent color. Like AJ is just a true blue wrestler, and when it comes to his attire with how he does it and being so associated with SmackDown, that it's just weird to have him on the red brand. It's interesting, not necessarily weird, but it's interesting, and it presents a lot of new opportunities for opponents for him.
Yeah. All right. What else are we missing here?
They announced a special on the WWE Network for this Saturday where it's the Shield's final reunion. I don't believe whatever match they're advertising they've taped, so I'm looking at their schedule. They're in both Springfield and Madison on Saturday night, and then Friday they're in St. Louis. My guess would be they'd tape it in St. Louis Friday, but I have no idea.
The network the next day. Yeah, there's been a lot of interesting stuff on the network.
Hey, so anyways, I'm I'll be at River City Wrestling Con, I think it is, coming up on June 29th. I just found that out. Mm-hmm. And also, I'll be heading back to NXT in June.
Well, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Extended stay, a couple days, don't know?
I'm going to do a couple weeks.
Oh, very cool.
And
we'll figure out what to do with the show then.
We've got time.
Yeah, so, yeah. Looking forward to coming back down to NXT and getting into some, you know, whatever I'm going to be doing down there.
Well, you came back very energized from the whole situation, so it's always great.
I mean, I know what I'm going to be doing down there. I just don't feel like
disclosing. But it was great to see the energy that you came back with from there.
Yeah. Well, you feel like when you go and you do something and like you see like. That I go okay. There's results. Like things happen at work. Like okay, they bring you in, and like you know something good comes from it. It's not just okay. We're gonna bring the guy in because he was in DX, and you know he's one of our WWE legends. And, you know,
but like, they bring you in with a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I'm going back. So
that's so cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. So that's cool. And I get in August coming up. I'll be at Steel City Con. They just had one, actually, this past week. So I wasn't at that one, but I'll be at the next one. That's in Pittsburgh.
By yourself or with anybody else?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
You said River City Con. There are a couple guests there that you know pretty well, right?
Yeah, Scott and Kev there.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was alluding to. Yeah.
So, all right.
Well, yeah, that sounds...
Sounds like a show.
That's what we got. Hey,
yeah, so I think that... I think that's a good show.
Yeah.
And hey, real quick, pull the music back down just a little bit. everyone, like, what's going on with you, Marcus? What's going on with you?
you can find me on Twitter, Mark Budonica. Put me on the bloody spot here, but I'm producing a whole bunch of stuff here in California. There is a chance that this might be my last show with everybody. Was I that bad today? But there's an opportunity that I hope to be able to talk about soon. And for more on that, in case this is my last show, this has been an absolute honor and privilege to work with Sean. Sean, you're one of my favorite people in the world, and that was before I met you, and it only got better.
Thanks,
after
Marcus.
The fact.
Even after I was such an asshole to you at times.
That's part of the job. That's part of the job. But either way, it's been
that's the wrong way of putting it.
You're like a dick. Treating me like an employee, yeah. Like God forbid. Right. But getting to know everybody associated with the show has been an absolute pleasure. Folks present, past and present. TK, Christy, Johnny, Denise, who's just not here this week, Bill Hanstock, everybody who's in present company included.
I saw TK this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah?
I was with my girlfriend at the Black Power exhibit downtown at the Broad.
Yeah? She's super busy also. So that's you gotta get there by seeing TK. You got a big get.
Yeah.
But yes, thank you to everybody who...
All right.
Yeah.
Follow Sean on Twitter at TheRealXPuck. Follow me on Twitter at Jimbo the Booth. Subscribe to the YouTube at youtube.com/XPOC.
Yeah, we're going to get some different content going up on YouTube.
We're going to get some fun stuff up there. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN.
And right, Denise at _ Denise Salcedo.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us again. And sorry about last week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Sean Waltman, producers Mark B. Donica, Jimbo Frank, and the entire Xbox 12360 staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in. Like us on Facebook, rate and comment on iTunes and YouTube. Follow Xbox on Twitter at TheRealXPOC and email us at Xbox12360show@gmail.com.